You're listening to Reading Glasses, a show about book culture and literary life designed to help you read better. I'm author and book devourer Mallory O'Mara.
And I'm Bria Grant, filmmaker and e-reader. This episode, we're talking about how to read multiple books at once. We know y'all are all doing it, but no one's talking about it. Actually, we are all talking about it, but how do you do it best? And we're gonna tell you how.
But first, what are you reading, Bria?
I just finished a book that is probably going to be one of my favorite books of the year. A short story book, which that's rare for me to say that would be one of my favorite books of the year. It's called Lesser Known Monsters of the 21st Century by Kim Fu.
Oh my God, I'm going to get this arc because it looks so good.
It's out. You don't have to get an arc. You can just get it from the library. You too can read Lesser Known Monsters.
Because it's got the really cool cover with like the blue tiger on it.
Yeah, it is bluish now that I'm looking at it, but I didn't know that because I read on a Kindle. It's great. It's various short stories. A lot of them are sort of monstery based, but very much set in our own world. And then some are just more like weird sci-fi scenarios. Like, for example, people wake up and they can't taste anymore and like how that affects the world. But then there's also one about a girl who sprouts wings on her ankles and it's about her and her friends and whether or not that exists when the adults show up. It's just a really beautifully written short story collection. And I was kind of, just speaking of reading multiple books, I feel like I was juggling a lot of stuff and I was having trouble paying attention to anything for an extended period of time. So I picked this up because I was like, oh, right, I did want to read this. It came in from the library at the exact right time. So short stories were really helpful to me in sort of getting out of a little bit of a slump. I feel like I tried a few books. They felt too heavy. I couldn't do them. But I love this one. Like I said, one of my favorite books of the year. It's hard to talk about a short story collection.
Here's
one of the stories. It's really beautiful, beautifully written. Gorgeous, like kind of sci-fi in our world stuff.
Awesome.
What are you reading?
I am reading an advanced review copy of friend of the show, Clay McLeod Chapman.
Oh, yeah.
We love Clay and we love his books. His new horror novel is out in September. And folks, you really should pre-order it. It's called Ghost Eaters. It is so good. It's so unique. If you love ghosts, love spooky stories, it's just such an interesting take on it. It's about this woman and she's in Richmond, Virginia, and she's kind of stuck in her life. Like her and all her college friends, like no one really made it out. And they're all various stages of frustration and all content warnings for death and addiction. And this is not a spoiler, but one of her best friends and her ex that she has a very complicated relationship with is an addict. Mm. And that obviously complicates their relationship because she's the one who's been helping him out for a really long time. And she's kind of at the end of a rope and he ends up dying. And she blames herself. And she finds out that before he died, he started getting really into this new drug that lets you see ghosts.
Oh, wow.
And she gets kind of embroiled in that world after he dies because she wants to see him and she wants to see if she can contact him. And turns out it's not such a good idea. Mm-hmm. It's really spooky and it's really fun. And it's just such a brilliant, smart, really, like I said, unique take on ghosts. Mm-hmm. And I liked it so much. It is Ghost Eaters by Clay McLeod Chapman.
And mine is Lesser Known Monsters of the 21st Century by Kim Fu.
So we want to take a moment to share some listener feedback. Fee wrote in about books appearing in bookstores early. I was listening to last week's episode, episode 255, where a glasser wrote in about finding a book out on the shelves of Barnes & Noble early. I can sort of answer this question. I worked at Barnes & Noble in 2021 and was the person in the back in charge of unboxing all the book shipments for shelving. Whenever I unboxed a book, I would scan it with a PDT. Please don't ask me what this stands for. I never learned. I believe it's something portable data terminal.
No idea.
I think that's what it is. It's just like, it basically like it's a little scanner. But Fee says the PDT basically connects to our larger system and tells us all the info about the book, genre, release date, if someone special ordered it, etc. New releases that arrive before their release date would be scanned and the PDT would make a very annoying beeping noise telling me that I should not place this book out for sale under any circumstances. But sometimes I would scan a pending new release and the PDT wouldn't beep. For whatever reason, the system wouldn't recognize the book as being a pending new release. So unless I knew for a fact that the book shouldn't go out yet, I would put it on the cart and send it out to shelves.
Wow. So basically, Fee is the reason you're seeing these books out there in the world. Not really. But this makes sense. Like, if you're not told, why would you go to the trouble of looking up whether or not that book belongs out in the world? And I think the question was, the person wrote in with, they were like, is it okay for me to buy this? Which we were like, go for it. I mean, it's out there.
Yes. And I did hear from some publishing friends that say if you buy it before it comes out, it does still count for the first week.
Okay.
But according to some publishing friends, it is very annoying to publishers.
Sure.
Get really grumpy about it, which is totally understandable. As the author, I would be grumpy about it. But technology is weird. Sometimes weird things happen and things slip through the cracks.
Katie wrote in with a hot book tip.
Wow, wow.
All right. I don't know.
Hot book tip in the morning with Mallory and Bria.
We were sent some new instruments from Emily. I'm not sure is this loud. Do you think this is loud?
Well, Sean's sure going to tell us.
Thank you, Emily, for sending us some very fun things we get to play with to announce the hot book tip.
I love that the hot book tip thing has become such a huge deal now. They email us with hot book tips. They always either try to type out the noise, or sometimes people are like, hot book tip. I don't know how to type out the noise, but insert it here.
Woo,
woo, woo, woo.
It's like a train is coming. All right.
Train full of hot book tips.
Yeah, you're ready to dump these hot book tips out the back. Katie wrote in, I have an option for the listener who needs a way to track her reading but doesn't want her reviews public. All right, so this is a person a few episodes ago. Apparently, Goodreads has a private comment section for every book. It might only be available via the website, not the app, but I use it frequently for my thoughts about a book when I don't want them known publicly or for whatever reason.
Yeah, I mean, that I see a lot of folks, that's like one of the big reasons why people don't like tracking their reading on Goodreads, because they don't want other people to see it.
Yeah, I didn't know there was a private comment section.
Secret thoughts on books, folks. And then Janie sent in a wheelhouse. Janie says, I discovered your podcast a couple weeks ago and have been binging it ever since. Where has it been all my life? I'm a lifelong voracious reader and freelance writer living outside of Washington, D.C. Hopefully you're a Capitals fan. Anyway, here's my book wheelhouse. Talking animals, duh. Best friends who are true kindred spirits. Characters who rise up out of bad situations and triumph, especially using magic or superpowers. Telekinesis, holes in the ground.
Oh.
Portals, villains who turn good in the end. Lavish descriptions of food, cabins in the woods, sourdough cultivating, and women solving mysteries by themselves.
Don't give me any help. I'll be solving this mystery all by myself.
You can email us at readingglassespodcast@gmail.com. If you want a list of all the books we talk about on the show delivered to your inbox every month, you can sign up for our newsletter. There's a link in the show notes. We have some bookmarks for you folks. First off, it is our 5-year anniversary.
Wow.
We have been doing Reading Glasses. Oh, wait. Yeah. Hold on. We've been doing Reading Glasses for 5 whole years. That is, we're getting towards 300 episodes. We have done countless live events and bonus episodes and special things. Thank you, folks, if you have been there from the beginning, for joining us on the ride. If you've joined us along the way, if maybe you're a brand new listener, thank you. I think from go, we were very surprised at how quickly this show got a great community around it, and is one of the best things we've ever done. We love it so much. So thank you. And to celebrate, not totally to celebrate, but this just works out well. So after we had Tade Thompson on the show, and he called himself a book slut, and yes. Bria was like, wow, I really want that as a shirt. Bria texted me afterwards and was like, hey, can we actually do that as a shirt?
Yes.
And our friend Jordan over at Void Merch delivered. Now, folks, you can get your own book slut shirt.
Really can.
There are two different designs. One is just says book slut with just type, and one that says book slut and then it has a wet book.
So dumb. We were wildly entertained. Wildly entertained.
Jordan is an evil genius. Mm-hmm. We love it so much. So you can get it on shirts, but you can also get it on totes and mugs and stickers and stuff like
anything
that.
You want.
So maybe you're also a person who likes to read absolutely anything and everything, different genres, whatever you want. I'm going to get a book slut shirt.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm ordering one, too. I'm ordering one and sending one to Tade Thompson to see if he'll wear it. I would love that.
Oh my God. That would be so good. But yeah, so folks, there's a link in the show notes. If you go to MaximumFun.org, look for Reading Glasses. That's where all our show notes go. And under our little special link for just Reading Glasses. And you can get your own book slut shirt. Also, One quick bookmark for me, I am finally going on tour in the UK. This is going to be my first in-person book tour since the pandemic started. I'm very excited. My UK publisher is sending me out for Girly Drinks. Girly Drinks comes out in the UK on July 28th. In the last week of July, I'm going to be doing events all over the UK. I will be the only ones that I can that have been announced. I'm going to be in London, I think once or twice, and definitely Oxford. So I'll put a link in the show notes to that. I would love to see some UK glassers.
Hey.
Be really exciting if you want to come out. So far, I think it's just going to be me talking and hanging out at the I don't do readings, but I'll just be doing a talk and drinks will be served. So if you want to drink and talk about books with me, please come. It's going to be a blast. Last week of July, I'll put a link in the show notes for that as well.
But you won't see glassers. You'll see glasses.
Oh, I wish we had like what, Sean, what's a British noise we could put here?
Oh, yeah. Maybe Sean.
The tolling of Big Ben. I don't know. Anyway, before we talk about reading multiple books at once, we're going to take a quick break. Reading Glasses is sponsored in part by BetterHelp. Bria, what does it feel like when you're burnt out?
Ooh, feels like different things to different people, I think.
I mean,
you know,
for you
people,
personally.
Oh, for me personally, it feels like the inability to focus. It feels like not wanting to do anything, having trouble getting out of bed, and just that general, you know, that feeling of procrastination where that just feels so much better than actually doing the thing that you're supposed to be doing. That's what it feels like to me.
Yeah, for me, burnout feels like just not having any gas in my tank. Mm. Like I have so much stuff to do and just no ability to do it. And it's rough. I mean, and you can get burnout from all sorts of things, you know, from just too much going on in your work life, home life, just in your head. You know, life can be overwhelming and many people are burnt out without even knowing it. Symptoms can include, like we said, lack of motivation, irritability, fatigue, it's rough and it can happen in a multitude of ways. The good thing is BetterHelp online therapy wants to remind you to prioritize yourself. But Bria, what is BetterHelp?
BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist. So you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to, which is great. It can be much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can be matched with a therapist in under 48 hours. So if you are feeling bad and you're like, I want to talk to someone, hey, you can be talking to someone in less than 2 days.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. I've been in therapy for a really, really long time. I treasure my relationship with my therapist. It's great. A couple times a month, we sit down and talk, and I'm like, here's all the stuff that's going on in my brain, and he helps me sort it out and gives me some tools to be less anxious and less stressed, and it has been... I mean, it is impossible to overstate the benefit that therapy has been to my life. It really has helped me get my anxiety disorder under control. You know, I sleep better. I feel better in my brain. I manage stress much more easily. It's fantastic. And you can try it right now. You can try it today because our listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/glasses. So you can try therapy, see if it's for you. Maybe you've never tried therapy before, but you're really stressed out or you're having a hard time with something and you just want someone to talk to. Or maybe you used to be in therapy, but then you kind of fell off of it and you don't know where to start back up and you're really busy and you just don't think you have the time and the energy to drive somewhere every week or every month. BetterHelp has got your back. That's BetterHelp.com/glasses. BetterHelp.com/glasses.
Glasses.
Hi, I'm Dan McCoy.
I'm Stuart Wellington.
And I'm Elliot Kalin.
And the three of us host The Flophouse. It's a podcast where we watch a new bad movie and then we talk about it.
Dan, you say it's hosted by the three of us. We've had a lot of great guest co-hosts like Gillian Flynn, Jamel Bowie, John Hodgman, Jessica Williams, Wyatt Cenac, Joe Bob Briggs, Josh Gondelman, Roman Mars.
Yeah, and you said new movies, but what about the time we did Meatballs 2?
Okay. Yeah, sometimes we do older movies and sometimes we have guests, but mostly it's about us talking about like recent bad movies.
And don't forget about the ones where I made you do a role-playing game where you played cartoon dogs.
All right, yeah. But
shouldn't a promo be a really simple explanation about what our show's about? So what's the show about, Dan?
What's it about?
It's about friendship, all right? It's about our friendship and how we love each other.
The Flophouse. It's a podcast mostly about bad movies on Maximum Fun.
The This week, we're talking about reading multiple books at once. Is it good for your reading life? Not so good? Does it help you get more reading done? And if so, what's the best way to do it? We've got you covered. And today's episode was inspired by Dylan, who wrote in to say, "Do you have any advice regarding reading multiple books at once? I recently got back into reading in the past few years. I managed 24 books last year, which is a record for me. That is awesome. The problem is that everything on my bookshelf and my Kindle looks so exciting. I have such a hard time choosing what to read next that I end up reading multiple books at once. I usually have a physical book for daytime reading, a Kindle book for bedtime reading, and an audiobook for listening to during chores and other physical tasks. Sometimes, if I'm really hyped about too many books, I'll have partially read books all over the room, which my fiance loves. The issue is that I can get the stories a little mixed up, especially if multiple books are similar. Do you ever read multiple books at once? And if so, what are your thoughts specifically regarding keeping the multiple stories separated? Bria, are you a multi-reader?
I am most of the time, but not all the time. A lot of times I'm just focused on one book. I usually have some sort of audiobook going. A lot of times it's the book for my book club because I know I need to do it. Like, I know it needs to be there and it needs to be available for me. And I always usually have a novel going. That's like the main thing I always have. And then sometimes I have like a book of poetry or a nonfiction book or something like that to read in the mornings, or just like, you know, on my Kindle or something. And then a lot of times I'll pick up a graphic novel. So the answer is like, yes.
You're a multi reader.
But like, I definitely have the main book, and then I have a bunch of side pieces. a bunch of side books. But yeah, no, I mean, I have this problem too where I get so excited about other books that I'm like, should I quit reading this book? I'm not loyal to this book for any reason. So I get what Dylan is saying. What about you?
I am to an extent, and I think to a lesser extent than you are. I usually have one fiction book going. Like I said, that it's funny that we're both like, oh, this is the main event.
Yeah, yeah. The main person. You're monogamous. This is your main relationship, but then you have other relationships.
Yeah,
with
there's a lot of terminology in the poly community. I can't remember any of it right now.
Oh,
but
yeah, this would be helpful for us. Yes.
Like I'm going to have to look it up, but there's different names for all of that. But yeah, so I usually have one fiction book going and one nonfiction. So fiction is with me at all times. Nonfiction stays next to the bed. And then I usually keep an audiobook going. I think so many of us just keep an audiobook going for when you're like doing yoga, folding laundry.
Sure, yeah.
But I don't do any more than that. When I read a book, I want to be totally focused on it. And if there's another book I want to read, I'd rather just wait and finish the one that I'm on. So do you think reading multiple books could be good for your reading life? Do you think it is helpful to you? Maybe helps you get more reading in? You think you read more this way?
I don't think I read more this way. I think, you know, if I carried around the same book all day long, I would probably get the same amount read, except reading in different formats, I think, helps. So the audiobook obviously is a big a way to get to sneak in some more reading. But also just having like a book on my phone. A lot of times it's not the book that I'm my main book, unfortunately, but like having that is helpful. But yeah, look, I can read my book while I'm driving, and I can't do that with my main book yet because that's only my audio book. So yes, I guess it does help overall. But I don't know. It's hard for me to read just like a book of poetry and nothing else. Like that would be like a tough ask, or even a nonfiction book. I'm not really just reading that and nothing else. I always have like that main book, like we said.
Well, because those are things you'd like to digest a little bit.
You
don't want to binge a poetry book.
Yeah, it's hard. And then also like I'm reading it before bed, and I think you probably could do it before bed. And I do read like it's hard for me to read just like a straight nonfiction book before bed. Like maybe I'll read a chapter and then go to my fiction book. But yeah, I don't know if it's necessarily helping me read more. What about you? Do you think it's helping you get reading more?
No, I know for me personally, and because that's because I've tried it and I know that it doesn't help me. Mm-hmm. I think if you're someone who can get distracted, or maybe your mood changes, or you find yourself not feeling the book you're reading, it might be something to try out. So like, why not? It can't hurt. I can see how having multiple books going would be nice in that situation, because then you've got different options. Like if you stall out on one book and you're like, ooh, this book's really sad and it's a nice day out and I don't feel like reading it. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, well, I have another option. That might be good. And if you want to get more reading in, you know, it's better to switch to a different book than just wait until you feel like reading the book that you're already reading. Just make sure that you can jump back and forth without forgetting what's going on in the other books. But for me, I like to just focus.
I think that's the biggest takeaway here, I think, is that It is so, if you're reading like two sci-fi books set in space, like that's going to be a tough jump. But I think like the audiobook, which uses a different part of your brain in some, you know, it uses different parts of your brain than a physical book. Or if you're reading like a nonfiction book about medieval times and then you're reading a romance set in present day, I think that's good. And I do think is probably good for your brain to kind of be able to jump between these two things. And you can do it based on your mood. Or like Mallory, time of day. I know you got that morning book and the night book, right?
my what does Jeremy call my upstairs books? My downstairs books.
Or locale. Maybe it depends on locale.
Yeah, I mean, if you really want to read multiple books of the same genre at once, and this is for you, Dylan, I really would try to make sure they have different. The thing to focus on is different setting and different plot.
Two fiction books at the same time.
Yes. Okay. I mean, nonfiction, it could work too. Less so plot, but, you know, more so setting. Because it'll just be easier to keep things straight if, you know, one, even if you're reading in the same genre, like one horror takes place on the beach and one takes place in a spaceship, it'll be easier for you to keep that straight versus if they're all both in a haunted house or they're both romances set in, you know, Regency England. You know, try to have, I would say plot and setting are the two big ones.
Yeah, for sure. And there are books that I've read back to back that it's like, there's two vampire series that I read back to back and I think of those as the same book. Like when in my head, I can't think of one is The Passage and what is the other one I read? It was the Guillermo del Toro.
The Strain.
Yeah. I read those books back to back. And
they're the same book.
In my head, I get confused. I'm like, well, which one has the plane? Which one has, like, the people in the facility? And, like, oh, they both have people in the facility. Like, so it's like, it's actually, that's very confusing. So I think I think what Mallory said is totally spot on. Like, if you make sure you're going, you can keep them going at the same time, but make sure they're very different books.
Yeah, I think
location special. Yeah,
yeah. I think Dylan's
but two
doing
vampire books. That's hard. Two vampire books.
Even
too
if they're
much
different,
blood sucking.
Even if one is like a horror and one's a romance, it's just going to be too confusing.
Yeah,
you're going to be
like
you're going to open
am I not
up
scared?
The
why are they having sex?
Yeah, you're going to be open up your horror book. Like, why are they all making out? This is weird. I think it's too tough. But I think Dylan's already doing the right thing. Different formats is really really helpful. Different times of day is helpful. But for me, it's all about the setting and the plot.
I think Dylan also, like, it's cool to get excited about new books. I think that's great. And if you are so much more excited about this new book and less excited about your other book, it's okay to dump that book.
Yeah.
Like, maybe you aren't even into the other book. Like, I would ask yourself that question. If you're so excited about this other book that you can't even, you keep picking up new books, maybe the original book you're reading is not necessarily the right book for you.
Time to break up. So you can send your thoughts on multiple book reading to readingglassespodcast@gmail.com. Before we solve a bookish question, we're going to take a quick break. Reading Glasses is sponsored in part this week by Magic Spoon. If you're trying to cut down on carbs or sugar, it might feel like all your fun breakfast options are off the table. But folks, Magic Spoon is here to save the day. Mm-hmm. I'm so excited about this. Bria, what is Magic Spoon?
Magic Spoon? It's a breakfast cereal. It's keto friendly, gluten free, grain free, soy free, and low carb. It has 0 grams of sugar, 140 calories, 13 to 14 grams of protein, which Mallory loves. She loves protein. Just give her just pump the protein right in there. And it's got 4 net grams of carbs in every serving. Mallory, you love this stuff. You want to talk about it?
I'm a Magic Spoon convert. We tried this, and I eat a lot of protein. I'm a power lifter. And most of my protein options are pretty boring. I eat a lot of protein shakes. Mm. I eat a lot of protein bars. Mm. And, it's fine. I have to do it, but I don't get excited about it. And I tried Magic Spoon and I was absolutely blown away about how much, like in 2 cups of cereal, a lot of these have, you know, 13 to 14. That means it's either 26 or 28 grams of protein.
Oh, that's a lot.
That's a lot for me. But the more exciting thing is, it tastes exactly like the breakfast cereals that you ate when you were a kid.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think I'm allowed to say the brand names, but the fruity ones, the fruity flavor of Magic Spoon tastes exactly like a fruity, sugary breakfast cereal that you ate in front of the TV on Saturdays when you were a kid.
Yum.
Sometimes I'm like, even on a day where I'm not lifting, I'm like, ooh, I kind of want some of that cereal because it is so good. And when you eat it, you will not believe that it is, you know, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, low-carb, no sugar, high protein. It's really, they call it magic spoon, but it's true. It's magic. I absolutely love it. And what's cool is you can build your own box. So there's the cocoa flavor, the fruity flavor, which is my favorite, the frosted, peanut butter, cookies and cream, maple waffle, blueberry muffin, cinnamon roll, and honey nut. Folks, so good. So good. So even if you are not trying to become a big beefcake like me and you're just, you want a fun breakfast and you're trying to, you know, maybe you don't eat gluten like me and Bria, you want to be low carb, you want to be grain free, whatever it is, Magic Spoon has gotcha.
Yeah. And even more exciting, Magic Spoon has brought back their cereal bars.
Oh, so
perfect,
excited.
Perfect, convenient, on-the-go companion to your cereal. So check those out too. If you're the kind of person who always eats breakfast in their car, like me, then this could be perfect for you.
Or you just miss the days when you were maybe in college or in high school and you could have a fistful of sugary breakfast cereal at midnight when you can't sleep. You can do it again. You can do the same thing with Magic Spoon, only you're not going to be like, oh no, I just literally had a handful of sugar. Magic Spoon truly is magic. So all you have to do is go to magicspoon.com/glasses to grab a custom bundle of cereal and be sure to use our promo code glasses at checkout to save $5 off your order. Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with 100% happiness guarantee. So if you get it and you don't like it, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. So you can get your next delicious bowl of cereal at magicspoon.com/glasses. That's magicspoon.com/glasses and use the code glasses to save $5 off. Glasses.
Glasses.
Do you sometimes wonder whatever happened to the kids at your school who really loved Star Trek?
You might remember a kid like me, the one who read the Star Trek novels and built starship models. I also took music classes to avoid taking gym classes that required showering after, but I don't see what that really has to do with...
Or a kid like me. I introduced myself to kids at my summer camp one year as Wesley. But when the school year started and some of those kids were in my new class, I actually had to explain to my friends that I had tried to take on the identity of my favorite Star Trek character. The shame haunts me to this day.
I'm sure some of those Star Trek fans from your childhood grew up to have interesting and productive lives, but we ended up being podcasters.
On The Greatest Discovery, you'll hear what happens to two lifelong Star Trek fans who didn't grow up to be great people, but just grew up to be people who love jokes as much as they love Trek.
So listen to our new episodes every week on MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now let's solve a bookish problem from one of our listeners. Emily writes in, Dear Bria and Mallory, so I collect signed books, even though I'm mostly an e-reader. I got a signed copy of Casey McQuiston's new book, I Kissed Shara Wheeler, in the pink cover, and then I went to her book tour event and got a signed copy of the Barnes & Noble Purple Edition. Well, today, I see there is a beautiful blue cover for the UK edition. I'm tempted to buy a signed one to complete the set, but my question is it bad to buy an international copy of a book just to collect, since those people don't have access to the American edition? Love the show, and I've been listening to the backlist during work, and will oftentimes make me laugh out loud. Thank you for making such a fun show. Bria, what should Emily do?
First, we have the most conscientious listeners.
You know, we actually got complimented on that. I think it was Lauren, my best friend, who the other day was like, wow, Glassers have such high morals.
They're very thoughtful. You know, will this be fucking someone else? Then I should not do it because I do not want to be a trash baby. I do not want to be, oh man, there's a show I like on TV right now and this girl says a full diaper of a woman.
Wow.
A full diaper. That's real funny. These people don't want to be full diapers.
We truly have the most thoughtful listeners, I think, of any podcast ever.
So I don't totally understand this question, Mallory. So
she thinks she's going to be taking an edition away.
That's what I thought.
Yes.
So she's like, I don't want to buy this book because it's going to take away from a UK person.
Yes.
Is that the case, Mallory? Because I actually don't know. Okay, tell me.
It's not the case. Okay. I'm saying, Emily, buy that book. Because it's only going to benefit Casey McQuiston. You know? And the thing is, if they run out of those beautiful blue UK editions, they'll have to order another printing. And then Casey McQuiston will be real happy. It's great for the author.
Yeah,
I will say my only note about this is that about buying international editions is that oftentimes Amazon will sell copies of the book to countries where the book isn't out yet.
Oh.
So Which can be good. The thing is, obviously it's good, but if the book is actually coming out from a publisher in that country, like right now, let me see. Lady from the Black Lagoon is not out in France. So if someone buys a copy off of French Amazon, it's coming from the US.
Okay. So it's not a long shipment.
Yeah, it's a long shipment, but it's not, it's counting towards my US numbers.
Ah, okay.
And that, again, that can be good. But if, like, say if Lady from the Black Lagoon was going to be coming out in France, which is currently it is not, that would take away from a sale that I would get from that publisher. And right. That would, you know, it's not great. So if you see a book that you want and it's not out in your country yet, so before you do what Emily's going to do in special order, just check the author's website to see, like, right now, Girly Drinks is coming out in the UK. So I would rather people wait and get it, the UK edition, rather than ordering a copy from America. Because that way...
You'd rather UK people get a UK edition.
Just so that it shows that publisher that people in that country want to buy your books.
Well, but what's interesting about what Emily is doing is that she's showing that publisher that people in America want to buy their books. So it's actually like, it's very...
Yeah, that's my only note. So and if you want to buy a book and it's not available in your country, just... And it's not going to come out anytime soon, then, you know, just go for it. But Emily, you're not taking anything away from anyone else. And again, if they need to print more, that's great for Casey McQuiston. McQuiston would be like, yes, please, Emily, buy as many books as you
and
can.
And we're real McQuiston heads over here, so we like anything from McQuiston.
I still have never read a Casey McQuiston book.
Well, maybe it's time. I know it is. Order this beautiful cover.
I know.
Maybe not the UK one. Order. I mean, you got options here.
I know. It is really cool that there are multiple editions. And so don't feel bad. A lot of people do this. Book lovers love books.
It's true. I love this question, though. This is getting in the weeds of publishing, are here for it.
The bread and butter of reading glasses.
Questions.
Both of us are allergic to gluten. We need to come up with a different phrase than bread and butter.
Oh, uh-huh.
It is the bourbon and chocolate.
It is the seed-based bread.
It is the rice cake of reading glasses.
Yes.
So
makes it sound like the boring thing that comes up and you have to eat.
What's a rice bun?
A rice bun?
Yeah.
Oh, like those little... Yeah. I see.
We could just say bourbon and chocolate.
It's the bourbon and chocolate.
That's the things
glasses.
That we love.
I like them.
So if you want us to solve your reader problem, you can send it to readingglassespodcast@gmail.com. Time to answer a recommendation request. Quinn writes in, my best friend is normally an avid reader, reading over 100 books a year, but has recently had a hard time getting into reading. Even rereading her old favorites isn't working. She's been able to read comics, but wants to get back into novels. She knows I love your podcast and wanted to know which 5 or so episodes you recommend most for getting out of book slumps, alleviating book guilt, and maybe just some of your favorite episodes in general, and a bit about her wheelhouse. Black joy, black female protagonists, fantasy with strong female leads, retellings, especially fairy tales, Greek Roman mythology, and Pride and Prejudice. Thank you so much for all your hard work on the show. So, folks, we are going to recommend a book for Quinn's friend. I love when people write in for recommendation requests on behalf of someone, normally husbands and dads, but I love the ones for friends. And then we are going to recommend some of our favorite episodes. But first, Bria, what do you think Quinn's best friend should read?
I'm saying Bethany C. Morrow's A Song Below Water.
Yes.
I think this is going to scratch the itch for this sort of retelling fairy tale thing, because even though it's not a retelling, I'm going to argue that it is in a world in which we are familiar with things in this world. So I think you will feel like it is a bit of a retelling because it has sirens as like,
yeah, it does have that fantasy characters. Feel.
But it's set in current day. So it is fantasy, but it's set in current day Pacific Northwest. And I think it could just be a really fun, it's comics adjacent, I think. I'm going to argue that too, even though it is not a comic, but I think it has a lot of themes and things that you would like in that. And then it has some really great strong female leads, black female protagonists, black joy. I think it has all of these things. It's basically, look, did Bethany call these people superheroes? No. But do they have amazing powers? Yes. So I think it like is akin in some ways to like a comic booky kind of world, even though it is very much just like a YA fantasy like set in modern day. And I just love this book. I just think it's a great book. I think everyone should read it. And hopefully Quinn's friend likes it. What do you recommend?
So I'm going to recommend an author I talked about recently, Kaylin Barron. She wrote, remember that plant fantasy I talked about, This Poison Heart?
Oh, yes.
But she wrote another book that's a Cinderella retelling called Cinderella Isn't Dead. And
it's
a black female protagonist. And it takes place in this world where, even though Cinderella's been dead for hundreds of years, they have carried on this tradition of bringing all these girls to a ball to get picked by the prince. But now in this world, all the girls that don't get picked by the prince, they disappear and no one knows what happens to them. So it is a wicked fun queer black female protagonist retelling of a very famous story. Okay. What more could you want?
Yeah, this sounds perfect.
So that's Cinderella Isn't Dead by Kaylin Barron.
And mine is A Song Below Water by Bethany Simora.
And then I did a comb through the Reading Glasses archives and picked out 5 episodes that I think are great. Like, maybe if you're listening to this and you're like, you've never gone through our backlog, or you're listening to this and you're like, I want to get my friends into Reading Glasses so I can share this weirdness with my friends.
Great.
Here are 5 good episodes for getting out of book slumps. The first one is an early one, episode 11. You're going to die with a TBR list and how to accept that.
Great. Early Brian Mallory, just little babies.
Baby children. Podcasters. But that episode was when we were like, listen, you're never going to read all the books you want to read. Too bad.
Mm-hmm.
And we talk about how that actually can be good for your reading. And then episode 37, this was a classic, drop that book guilt and a review of a plastic bag.
That's right. We did review a plastic bag early on. That was for tub reading. And you know
what? For tub reading.
Got a pretty good review.
Yeah. You know what? We were pretty impressed with the plastic bag.
And because it came around to when I was reading Kindle in the tub, and one of our listeners wrote in, they're like, you know, you can just put that thing in a plastic bag and it'll be safe.
Oh, yeah. Because you used to hang out of the tub.
I have to tell you, I still do that. I don't use the plastic bag. But the plastic bag was useful and people were right about it. I just didn't use it.
But that episode is all about not being guilty about what you read, which I think will be helpful. And then fast forward a bit to episode 129, What Gets You to Pick Up a Book with Lindsay Dunn. And that's when we first started talking about the reading doorways / pathways. And it's a fun episode because we're talking about, you know, how to think about your reading in those terms, like plot, language, character, or setting. And I think I've seen a lot of glasses write in to say that thinking about what makes you like a book in that way can be really helpful for finding more books. And then episode 142, which is Dump That Book. Classic. Talk about book dumping.
Dump the book.
We love it. We love book dumping, but that can really help you get out of a book slump because a lot of people get into a book slump. I feel like there's 2 ways to get into a book slump. Either you read a book that is so good that it like ruins you for a while, or you read a book that it just like stalls you out.
And then you're trying to finish the book. Yeah, yes. You're trying to finish the book, and instead of putting the book somewhere else and taking
like
a
in
break
the trash,
from, like right in the trash. No, like instead of like being like, you know,
in the recycling,
Yes. Instead of doing that. Which you don't have to do that. You can just put it aside for later. But like people just kind of like push through and they're like, I just can't finish this book. So I don't even want to keep reading.
Yeah.
It's like, no, get rid of the book. The book is the problem, not the reading.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then lastly, episode 202, which is how to decide what to read next. And that's self-explanatory. It's a whole episode of how to figure out, you know, what you want to read and what to pick next. So we think that these are 5 good ones to start if you're trying to get out of a book slump or you're stalled out right now. So Quinn, hopefully your best friend both likes these books and likes these episodes. So as always, we want to thank the wonderful mods who run our Facebook group and Chrissy and Rachel who moderate our Goodreads page. Remember, if you want to buy your own book slut shirt, along with all of
book
our
slut.
Other things, libraries are flipping awesome in both flipping and fucking varieties. Ones that just say reading glasses, ask me what I'm reading. There's so many cool reading glasses designs that our friend Jordan over at Boyd Merch has made. And you can get them on totes and shirts and mugs and stickers and pillows and journals and all kinds of fun stuff. Check out the link in the show notes. And if you like the show and you're like, wow, these ladies are so great. Actually, you know what? Fuck it. It's our 5-year anniversary, folks. If you want to get Bria and I an anniversary present.
Yes, thank you. Happy anniversary.
You want to get us an anniversary present for 5 years of making this show for everyone in the world to listen to for free. Please rate and review us on your podcast listening app of choice. If you are an Apple Podcast listener, I don't know how to do it on Spotify, but I know if you're an Apple Podcast listener, just open it up on your phone, search for Reading Glasses, go to the Reading Glasses page and scroll down and boom, right there. You can give us a 5-star rating and review. It will take you less than a minute and it would really make our day. It'd be a great anniversary present. We would really appreciate it. You can email us at readingglassespodcast@gmail.com. Find us on Twitter @ReadingG Podcast, on Instagram @ReadingGlassesPodcast. Thanks for listening and thanks for reading.